Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Imperfect Wives Radio. I am your co-host, Sheree Zach, with my beautiful, incredibly talented, extremely intelligent co-host, Rebecca LeCombe. Hello, Rebecca. Good morning.
Good morning, Sheree. You know, my inner 8-year-old is coming out going, I'm rubber, you're glue.
I'm rubber, you're glue. I like that. Okay.
You're welcome. Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful day in the Lord. We are so blessed to have life and to have breath in our bodies. We are just so very, very blessed.
And amen. Amen. We took a week off last week so that we could refresh and rest and sit before the Lord. Even more so than we're able to now, you know, with our busy schedule. And, boy, did God do some incredible things for both of us during last week. We hated to miss the show. We hated to, you know, not be a part of your week, as we have been for over 100 shows now. But sometimes you have to take a break, right, Rebecca?
You know, it's really true. Sometimes you need a break. And so we hope that we set a good example for you. If you are feeling pressed and you are feeling like you just cannot go on, you know, Jesus rested. Let's face it, God rested. You can go back to Genesis and talk about that for a minute. It's really, really important to take time to rest, to be alone with the Lord, and just listen to what he's saying to you, speaking to your heart. And that's what we did. So it was awesome.
Yep, and that's what we did. And the beautiful thing about this is you're going to be able to experience all that we received from God this past week in time. Over the next year, you're going to see some changes. You're going to see some great additions. You're going to see some more development in our ministry for wives who are discouraged and wives who are struggling in their marriages. And we are really excited about what God has planned. So as Rebecca said, it's important that you take time away from your ministry and you sit back and first rest. And that's what I did, Rebecca. The first couple days, I rested. I didn't, you know, I read my Bible. I spent time with God. I got back into worship. You know, I love worship. And I've not been able to spend as much time in worship as I normally do, but I was able to this week. I even found some new music that's come out recently through Hillsong and Newsboys and Planet Shakers. So my iPhone, the iPod part of my iPhone, has been rocking all week. And I've been encouraged and strengthened, but I'm really, really excited and about what God has for the Imperfect Wives this next year. So it is needed. It is so needed. And it was hard for you and I to take that break. When we first started talking about it, you know, because it fell perfectly with spring break for my family. And, you know, and for years because of Easter, Rob was able to take some days off. And so it was like God literally lined it up so the two of us could step away and do this. And and we did it.
We did.
We have a lot of reasons why we shouldn't, but we did it.
We did. And it's just so good. But it is great to be back, Sheree. I'm just so glad to be back. So good morning, everyone. We're glad you're back with us.
This morning we are talking about promises. Rebecca, as we look at the state of our world and the state of America and, you know, so many different things. There's a lot of negativity going around. When you watch the news, I walk away discouraged when I watch the news. But then God reminds me that my hope is in Him and not in what the news is saying. And You know, and one thing that you and I have continually heard over the last few weeks is, what are God's promises? And as we were talking, as we came back together after our break, we were talking, and the conversation continually was about promises. And we weren't even trying to talk about God's promises, but both of us, God had both of us tuned in to his promises. And I love the quote that you shared with us for the show description. You want to talk about that?
Oh, my goodness. That, you know, the Lord just sort of dropped that in my lap, Sheree. And, you know, I love it mm-hmm. when he does that, because then I go, oh, I'm not striving to try to create something out of my own intellect or ability. But Corrie ten Boom, you know, maybe you're listening today and you go, that name sounds kind of familiar. I might know who that is. Let me tell you a little bit about her. And then I'm going to share the quote, Sheree, because I think it's going to have so much more impact. Corrie ten Boom mm-hmm. was a Dutch Christian, and she and her father and other family members helped many Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust during World War II, and she wrote her most famous book called The Hiding Place about that ordeal. She was born the 15th of April, so her birthday is coming up next week, in 1892, and she died on the very same day, the 15th of April, in 1983 at age 91. Because of an informant in 1944, her family was arrested, and her father died 10 days after that arrest in a prison. And her sister, brother, and nephew were released. But another sister, Betsy, and Corrie were sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp, and that's where her sister eventually died. But Corrie did not, obviously, die in that place. He went on to live a very full life. But if anybody could be discontent, discouraged, in despair about the circumstances of her life, it surely could have been Corrie ten Boom, but
yeah.
She wasn't. She was able to live what she truly believed. She had an authentic faith, and I love that about her. If you have never read her book, The Hiding Place, you need to get a copy. You can get a paperback copy. You could probably download it on your Kindle or your Nook, or on, you know, your e-reader, you know,
yeah.
whatever one you have on your computer if you don't have one of those. It is well worth reading. But make sure you have your tissues handy if you're like me. But she said this, let God's promises shine on your problems. I
yeah.
love it. So simple, Sheree, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
It's like
God.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. We have to get used to this again.
Oh. She didn't make it complicated. She wasn't a great theologian as far as being super educated, seminary trained at this point. She was just a young woman trusting the Lord and mm-hmm. living out what she saw written in his word. And that's what we're supposed to do, too. And you know what, Sheree?
It is.
I can do that. I can do that. I can just be who I am and let God's word be what it is in my heart and in my life.
You know, I got to see someone act out. It was I don't want to call it a drama, but I was invited to one of my kids, the kids' chapel. They went to Christian school. My children did, as you know. And
yeah.
one of our chapels was someone who had come in, and what she did was she memorized excerpts from Corrie's book and from her life, things that she had said. And so she told her story to us, and it took about an hour. It was incredible. I don't know that I can remember anything that takes the memory of an hour to recite. But we learned so much about Corrie, and my kids learned so much about her, and that she truly does. If you listen to her story, you can see easily why so many turned away from God during that time, because his promises didn't make sense, the ones that they knew. You know, and this is what I gained from listening to Corrie's story. God's promises in the natural didn't make sense. But even in today's world, I was thinking this morning as we were talking about the show and, you know, some more of the scriptures that we're going to be sharing. When we look at the Bible and we look at the state of affairs today, we know that Paul wrote letters to the churches. And the Lord put my heart this morning and he said, Sharice, they weren't just written for that day. They were written for today. I want you to read Paul's letters. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to really delve into what he's saying to the churches, because I have a message for you in there. And that encouraged me. That alone encouraged me. Because we're not walking this alone. We are walking this with God if we choose to. Or we can choose to put our head in the sand and we can choose to accept what the world is saying, what the news is saying, what the perspective that's being given to us. We can choose to receive that. But I choose not to, Rebecca. I choose God's word. And I'm going to get into the letters to the churches again. And I'm going to start reading them with a fresh perspective. And I'm going to take notes and write down what is it that God is saying to me. Not just me, but to all of us, you know, because I don't want to choose what's being told to me. I want to choose what God says. And I know that if I have God's perspective, I have the right perspective, and that's going to get me and my family through anything that can be coming, that is coming, right?
Right. Amen. You know, and part of this, I think it's just so amazing because you and I have talked, and you mentioned just a few minutes ago the news and everything. I think, you know, when we as Americans turn on the news, and probably it could be said for anybody around the world, it is so negative, and you could end up in a really bad place mentally very, very quickly if you keep your focus on that. And so I think it's just so good. So if you need to, turn off the news, you know. Turn on, like Sheree is talking about, turn on your praise music. You know, just worship the Lord and turn and look at what is true. Because there's a lot of the stuff that's really happening. But what is God's truth? And what does he have? And that's where our focus needs to be. And that's just so important, Sheree. And it's so hard because we're all focused on what we can touch, what we can, you know, what we can see and hear. Those things can cloud the truth of God's word in our thinking, because we're so tied to our human experience, what we can experience with our bodies, that we often put aside or put in second place what we know to be the truth of God's word. And or maybe, Sheree, it's a question of is this authoritative? Do we really believe the word of God is true and infallible, and it really isn't just a metaphor for life? It isn't just a set of nice guidelines, but it's true and it's real. And like you said, that those things were written for those churches at that time, but they are also written for us today, and we need to hold on, grab on and hold on and trust what God has for us.
Yes. I think that as we continue to talk, I really feel like that's what God's wanting to say to us this morning, that he wants us to have the right perspective. And you hear that word continually. Notice how whenever there's something God wants you to get a hold of, you're going to hear it everywhere. You'll even see it on, billboard signs. You'll see it everywhere. You'll hear it everywhere. It'll be on a sticker on the back of someone's car, of all places. It's incredible to me, the main places that I find the word that God is trying to get my attention over, or just wants to cement it in my heart that this is truly where he wants me to look. And perspective is that word here lately, perspective. Do I have the right perspective? Am I walking in the right perspective? This is one of the reasons God gave us his word, so that anytime we have questions, we can get the right perspective in his word. We just have to go and look. And if we've been reading for quite a while, then the Holy Spirit's going to, you know, bring to our remembrance those very scriptures that God wants us to look at again. So that is bringing us into the start of our study this morning. So, Rebecca, you ready to pray?
I am. I would love to. If you can, join me with lifting your hands, closing your eyes, focusing on the Lord. I'll give my usual disclaimer. If you're driving, don't do it. Just keep your eyes open and keep both hands on the wheel. But if you can, join me and really press in, because the Spirit of God lives inside of you if you have committed your life to him, if you are his already. He's inside you. And if you haven't, he's right there with you, because there's nowhere on this planet that we can go that we can get away from the Spirit of God. He is everywhere. So we're all good. We're all in great company this morning. But press in and trust God and really enter into his presence with us this morning as we pray. Daddy, we come to you in Jesus' name, and Lord, we love you. We worship you and adore you. We give you glory and honor and praise, because you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and there is none like you in all the earth. Lord, you are mighty. You have great plans for us. Lord, you have promised us so much more than we can truly comprehend. You have given us your very best in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins and made it possible for us to have fellowship with you here on earth, have abundant life here and eternal life in heaven. And Lord, we're so very grateful beyond what we can even express to you. Lord, we trust you with our lives. Lord, that you have given us the best already, but there is so much more that you want to see made manifest in our lives. And so, Lord, as we open your word and we spend time together with you, Lord, speak to our hearts and show us what is your plan for this day, for this coming week, for these moments of our lives. What do you have for us now? What are you going to reveal, and what are you going to let us walk into as a gift from you? Lord, we thank you, and we are expecting to hear your voice clearly, to know how deeply and personally and intimately you love us, each of us. And Lord, we trust you that what you have for us is so good, that even when it looks like it isn't good, Lord, that you are actually using circumstances to position us right where you want us to be, so that you can move us into that next place, that season of more, that increase in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for it. We believe that we receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you're taking notes alongside us, our first one is, Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the promises of God. And Rebecca, this one excites me.
Me too. Me too. Read it. Read that scripture to us, Cherie. I want to hear it.
All right. We're looking at 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. And I am reading out of the NIV, correct, Rebecca?
Yes.
All right. So just making sure. I know a beautiful moment, it's usually NIV. All right. So grab your Bible and your highlighters. And highlight, we want to invite you to highlight what leaps at you, because this is one of the things that God wants to share with you this morning. So again, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all of the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seed on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Oh, I love that, Rebecca.
I was trying not to shout. I practiced great self-control there. Oh, my word. But in Jesus, it is always yes.
In Jesus, it is always yes.
Okay, folks, Rebecca and Cherie didn't make that up. That is in the Bible. Hello? Are you shouting where you are? In him, it is always yes. For all of the promises of God find their yes in him. Wow. I am amazed. I'm amazed, and I'm excited, and I think that one is going up on my wall today, Cherie Zach. I'm going to be more transparent than I had planned to be. You know, we talk about last week in our break, and it wasn't a great break for me. It wasn't restful. I mean, there were parts of it that were restful, but there were some parts of it just about every day that were difficult, that we were dealing with some things spiritually. We are dealing with, you know, when you make advances for the kingdom of God and you're moving forward, you're going to experience some backlash. And that's what we experienced last week. We experienced some of the backlash of, you know, the kingdom of darkness coming, you know, against us personally because, and I'm going to share this, I hadn't planned to share this because it just wasn't on my heart, but the Holy Spirit is putting it on my heart. We had an amazing Easter service, Resurrection Day, celebrated in just a way that only God could do at MCAS Miramar, Airman Memorial Chapel. You know, we had 75 at our sunrise service. And you have to understand, for us, that's a large crowd. You know, we have 120 at 9 o'clock on a great mm-hmm. Sunday, you know. And so to have 75 there for a 7:30 service that was outside in the cold was so exciting. And then when we had our 9 o'clock service, Sheree, we had 182, which is the largest crowd, is what we've been told, since like 1999 when some things shifted with the ownership of the base. So we are just so rejoicing. You know, there were salvations. It was amazing. And so it was no surprise. We weren't really surprised that the backlash came last week, you know, that there were things that happened in the spirit. But you know what? As I was feeling like, oh, my goodness, nothing is going right, I had a few moments like that last week. This scripture, but in him, it is always yes. And we persevered and we pushed through and we've seen that, yes, indeed, if we trust him and we wait to see what he's going to do, it is a yes. It may look like a no. You may feel like you're in the middle of a big no, but just wait and remind the enemy and remind yourself that in Jesus, all of God's promises find their yes. I love it. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. As you know, I am working in the chat room as well because our Kim Brooks is out, and so I am multitasking this morning and trying to make sure that all of the ladies in the chat room are getting the scriptures as well in case they don't have their Bibles. So that brings us to number two.
Oh, wait,
Rebecca,
wait, wait.
Holiness. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Wait, there's more. There's more. Go back. Because look at verse 21, Sheree, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has mm-hmm. also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Do you ever wonder if you are called, if you are anointed, if God has a plan to use you in some way? But there it is. It is God who establishes you, insert your name there, in Christ and has anointed us. You're anointed. The Bible says so right there. You know, that's big, Sheree, because I can remember a time when I was a baby Christian and I knew that I was called to ministry, but I was like, really, God? I just don't feel it. I just don't, you know, I look at all these other people and I can see their, you know, what they're called to do. I can see your anointing on them, but me, mm-hmm. I don't feel it. But there it is.
You're probably not going to. I mean, how many of us feel God's anointing with every step that we take? The Bible tells us that we walk by faith, right? Not
right.
by sight. Sometimes I wish God would put emotion. Would I put emotion in that list? Not by sight, not by emotion, you know, not by what you're feeling. We walk by faith. But as we walk by faith, this scripture is so encouraging in that. I mean, out of all of the verses in this one section, this is the one that leaps at me the most, as you know. You know, because, you know, I am one who walks with little faith sometimes, in all honesty. And sometimes I need an encouragement. Sometimes I need a guarantee. I always felt like a guarantee was too big, you know, when I was first learning how to walk with God and how to change and how to receive God's teachings from me and my family. And, you know, that was just so on forever. But sometimes I'd be like, you know, Lord, can I say this all the time. Can I just have your phone number? Can I please call you on the phone? Can I just talk to you? I need to hear your voice. Can I sit down with you and just have a conversation on the phone? You know, that tells you how young I was in my walk. But, you know, I really craved that, and I needed it. Why? Because I loved him. I was falling in love with my Savior. And yeah. So I wanted to have more time with him, and I wanted to understand. And for me, in my thinking back then, it was if I had a phone call, if I could just get his phone number and call him, it would be so much easier. You know, than walking by faith. But there's joy in walking by faith, especially when we get to read scriptures, you know, just like this one out of 2 Corinthians. We do have a guarantee. And you and I talk about this often because when God spoke to you and I about joining together for the Imperfect Wives, it was called the Praying Wives Club. And as you know, things just, once I transitioned to Facebook because of my friends in Jacksonville, Florida, we started with 7 women, and we now have over 700 in that group. And, you know, and but before it got to that, it was at like 250, and I was feeling the pressure, and I was feeling the you know, just so overwhelmed. All the counseling I was doing, I was getting easy 5 to 10 emails a day. And I know for some of you that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're counseling each person, it is a lot. Because you're not just going to say something to them. You're not going to just respond to, you know, Rebecca, what you first think in your heart. You're going to pray, or at least we do. We pray and we ask God, Lord, what is it that you want us to say to her? You know, how do you want to talk to her this morning? Because it's not us. It's about God and it's about them. And so I was extremely overwhelmed. And, you know, and so I asked God, Lord, can you please bring me help? And then the Lord reminded me of a very important moment, a guarantee, if you will. When you and I met at the Naval Hospital, you still know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
just before you guys transferred to San Diego, and you were at the pharmacy with your children, and I was walking in with mine to the pharmacy. That the Naval Hospital here in Beaufort is huge, so it's a God thing that we even met right there. And as soon as we saw each other, we were like, ah! You know, and walked over to each other real quickly to give each other a hug because we were excited to see each other because God had already been formulating a relationship, a bond between us. And as soon as we embraced, I felt God's presence so strongly. And the Lord said to me at that moment, I have a plan for the two of you together. That's my guarantee. That's my promise. When things get tough for us in this ministry, and I feel like I need to, you know, in all honesty, there are moments where I get discouraged and I feel like Rebecca can take this on her own. She can so do this. She doesn't need me. And I contemplate walking away, and I hope that doesn't discourage anyone. You know, we are just as human as you are, and we struggle with the same exact struggles you do. And but I don't tell her about it at the time, obviously, because praise the Lord, I'm smarter than that. But God always takes me back to that moment where that, and he reminds me. Now, that doesn't happen all the time. I think it's happened 3 times in the last 2 years. But we're also pioneering a ministry. So there's a lot of hard work that goes into pioneering the ministry. So in the same sense, there's a lot of opportunities for Satan to come in and try to destroy what God is creating through us and through our testimonies, right? So I always go back to that moment because that was a moment. God marked the beginning of this ministry for me at that very moment. And anytime Satan tries to bring doubt, I have that guarantee. I have that promise. And you know I hold on to it as tight as I possibly can. And so that's why it's so important that we hear his words, that we hear his voice, and we take hold of what he says because we write it down and we mark those moments. Because, you know, in psychology, I learned, you and I both take psychology in college. One of the things we learned is, for women, memories are marked by emotion. That's why we have such great memories, because we're very emotional beings. And that, you know, God uses that as a good thing for us, because when we have those moments marked by emotion, we remember them. And so, anyway, I hope that encourages somebody that's listening this morning and you're joining us. If you're joining us for the first time, you are listening to Imperfect Lives Radio with Shirley and Rebecca, and we are truly honored that you are here. All right, so are you ready to go to number two?
Well,
or did you have something you want to say?
I have a little rabbit trail if we use our notes as our blueprint, but I really feel like there's somebody here going, but I don't know that I really hear his voice. And you talk about hearing his voice and, you know, knowing and holding on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say this, okay? If you have given your life to God, if you have prayed that prayer and admitted that you sin and you've confessed that, you know that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross and he rose on the third day for your sins, and you've made him the Lord of your life, then you are his sheep, you know, you are. And this is a promise for you. Okay, in the New International Version in John chapter 10. So if you've got your Bible, get there to John chapter 10, and I am getting there myself, so please bear with me. But, you know, sometimes we think, oh, everybody else can hear. Everybody else sounds so sure of what they're hearing, and I'm not really sure. I don't know if I'm getting this. And, you know, am I confused? Am I just making it up? Am I just, you know, having these nice thoughts in my head? I mean, I remember feeling that way. So Jesus is talking, and he is telling the story of the Good Shepherd and his sheep. And he talks about how good he is and how he lays down his life, and that he goes and he does, you know, he takes care of his sheep. And so just so you have that picture. And then, of course, you know, the Jews, the leaders didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear it, and they were going to oppose him. But this is what he says in verse 27 and 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Okay? And then in verse 29, he says, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, if you have already put your faith in God, in Jesus, and you know that you have eternal life, you believed that part of the promise, there Jesus is tying together the idea of eternal life and being able to hear his voice. So if you've got the first part, the eternal life part, then you've got the promise, too, that you can hear his voice. So write it down. If you're praying and you're listening and you feel like God is speaking to you, write it down and then compare it to the Word of God. If it lines up and agrees with what the Bible says, you know, I think you can be pretty confident that you've heard the Lord's voice. If you're not sure that it lines up, if you are having trouble finding a place that supports what you believe you've heard, take it to somebody you trust, somebody who's more mature in the Lord. You can share it in the club and ask, does this sound like the Bible? Is this right? And someone there will help you. You know, we have so many wonderful women in there who are in positions of leadership within Imperfect Wives, who are in positions of leadership in their congregations, and they will share with you because their hearts are for you. So don't be discouraged. Press in, and instead of going, oh, I don't know if I hear God's voice, try. Seek him, because the Word says when you seek him, you'll find him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. He longs for that intimate fellowship with you. So just seek him and listen. and he wants to instruct you. So I'm just, Sheree, that's where I am. That's what the Lord said for somebody today.
Yeah. Yeah. We love that script, that passage of scripture anyway, because, you know, we always go back to that. Remember the show we did, The Voice of the Stranger?
Yes.
And we actually went through that chapter verse by verse, and it's powerful. If you're part of a church that is not, you know, a church is easily broken in two when God is not the head of it. And one of the reasons we so love that scripture, you know you're in a good church when your pastor's following God. If your pastor is following self and you're seeing things happen, then you know you're not in a good church. You need to get with the part of the body of Christ that is following God as the shepherd and not man as the shepherd. So promises, the right perspective, even that gives you the right perspective. Number two, for those of you who are taking notes or visual learners like me, holiness should be our response to the promises of God. And we are looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, and chapter 7, verse 1. Rebecca, do you want to read this one since I read the last one?
I would love to. Here we go.
We love hearing your voice anyway.
You're so sweet.
You have that smooth radio voice.
Well, now we know why I have this voice. It's just for this show.
Amen.
Oh, for we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Oh, wow. Mm. We are the temple of the living God. We know that. We know that, but it's good to be reminded. And we look at what God says. I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. We get to be His. And as a result, we need to respond to God and those promises of intimate fellowship with Him, with holiness.
Yeah, we were talking in our time together Sunday morning before church. I'm on the first team at Christ Assembly, and we always have a time of coming together through prayer and whatever's on our hearts. And usually Steve has a powerful word to share. And what he shared goes along with our scripture this morning with 2 Corinthians. God's asking us, in verse 18 or 17, therefore go out from their midst and be separated from them, says the Lord, and touch not unclean things. You know, go out from their midst and separate yourself from them. If we are in the world so much and we're not in our Bible, then we're going to take on the thought and the mind of the world. Does that make sense? That's where discouragement's going to come in. That's where we're going to get antsy. That's where anxiety's going to hit. You're going to start having a panic attack. Different things, you know, are happening because we are in the world so much that we're beginning to absorb everything that the world is saying, everything that the news is saying. That is, you know, all the negativity. We're absorbing it, and now it's becoming our thought process. It's becoming the voice in our head and the voice in our heart. But God's asking us that if we're His and we belong to Him, then we need to walk in holiness. And to do that means we have to come out from amongst, you know, what the world is doing and what the world is saying, especially in today's times and everything that we're facing as a nation.
Yeah.
You know, it's not because God wants to hurt us. It's not because He's trying to hurt us. Because God doesn't put strongholds on His people. That's what Satan does. And Satan does that through what the message that the world is delivering. And again, if everything that we get is coming from the world, then we're going to have a stronghold on us. God's asking us to come out from that. He wants to protect us, but He also wants us to be smart. He wants us to have intelligence. He wants us to understand and be able to see what is about to happen. And the only way we can do that is if we stay in His Word. It is so important to the life of our families, our marriage, the protection of our children, if we stay in God's Word. And not even just that, those areas, Rebecca. When we're at church and we're talking to people, if we're in God's Word, then we're going to be able to share with them exactly what God has us to share. God's able to use us as the hand or the foot. Make sense? As one of the body parts of the overall body of Christ. And the reason this is so heavy on my heart is because when you look at Facebook, I'm seeing more and more people, they're beginning to turn aside from God, and they're turning into fear. And they're turning into what the world is telling us. And I realize, as I'm reading their posts, they're not God's Word, because there you see fear rising up, right? You see anxiety rising up. People are becoming so much more fearful today than I've ever seen in my short life. You know, so God keeps saying, Sheree, stay in the Word. This is what's happening, but stay in the Word. Stay in my Word. I'm going to protect you, but I'm also going to show you what's to come, and I'm going to give you what you need to walk through it. Make sense?
It does make sense. And Robert and I were talking about holiness this weekend. And holiness flows out of righteousness. You know, it's a part of that. And if we focus on, like you said, God and His Word, you know, the Word says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yeah, and His righteousness, yeah.
And all these things will be added unto you. You know, the context of that, of course, is provision, you know, what you need to survive, to sustain your body and your life on this planet. But as we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that righteousness, you know, has been given to us when we receive salvation. And if we will continue that and pursue that, holiness flows out of that. And, you know, because we were talking about, Sheree and I will give you all sorts of teaching. We've taught on all sorts of things over the past couple of years. But really what we want to do is keep pointing you back to God. We don't want to give you a list of rules and regulations. We're not here to be legalistic. We're here to say, have that relationship, have that intimate relationship with the Lord who loves you unconditionally, perfectly, and out of that relationship will flow everything else. That'll help you to be the right kind of woman so that you can have the marriage that you know God has planned for you and your husband, so you can have that relationship with your kids, with your friends and neighbors, coworkers, people you worship with on Sunday mornings, you know, that those relationships flow out of that primary relationship with the Lord.
It does. Yeah, when you're struggling, one of the ladies in our group in Africa, the Imperfect Wives group we have in Africa, she said, it is time to go back to the crossroads and trace the right way. I love that. I love that, because sometimes I get off the crossroads. I take the wrong direction. I don't trust God's promises. You know, I get the wrong perspective, and I take the wrong path. I love that, because God, no matter what we do, no matter what mistakes we make, no matter how many times we turn away from His promises, we don't trust Him, whatever the situation is, we can always go back to the beginning and start over. You know, and a lot of times it's just right where you are, right?
Yeah.
What a great quote. It's time to go back to the crossroads and face the right way. I love it. I love the ladies in Africa, as you know. I get so tickled with them. They're incredible. They're bold, Rebecca. They don't care. There's such a difference in what they post compared to some of our other groups here on Facebook.
Yeah.
Africa, they are after God. Not saying that we're not, but there's just, I don't know, there's a sense of urgency. There's a spirit of boldness. You know, I love going in there. They feed me every day. God uses them to feed my spirit every day. They're so encouraging. So if you're struggling in today with everything that's going on around you, we have no idea what you're walking through. But we feel like we can probably relate to some of it because we're all women. And some of us are married, some of us are not. Some of us have children, some of us don't. All of us are coming from different places. but we can all relate to each other because we understand the primary need, which is to be loved and to feel safe. And God's promises, there is so much protection and safety in God's promises. And Rebecca, is there anything else you wanted to go over in this section before we get to our scriptures?
No.
You're good?
I'm good.
There are so many. There are so many scriptures. There's, I forget the actual number. I learned in school it was like 252 promises or 200 and something. I forget the actual number. I know it's 200. Promises in God's word that we can lean on, that we can glean from, that we can hold on to. And we don't have time to go over 200 and something promises, scriptures. So what we're going to do is share some of the ones that stuck out with us. And we're going to share those with you. And then hopefully when you have time, go into God's word and add to this list the ones that God has with you, the ones that you're holding on to. Maybe we're not mentioning those. But we'd like to invite you to share those on our fan page on Facebook at Imperfect Lives Radio. Stop by today. Like the page while you're there. But share what your thoughts are. Share a promise with us, if you would, that God has given you so that all of us can be encouraged. All right, Rebecca, you want to get us started?
I do. I'm going to jump down. You know me. I just don't always follow the notes very well.
No, you don't.
Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 and 29, and this is from the NIV. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, raise your hand if you feel weary or burdened. We can't see you, but God does. And, you know, his yoke is easy. His burden is light, right? Take his yoke upon you. Learn from him. He wants to teach you. Do you feel that you just can't keep going? You know, maybe you can't take a week off like Sheree and I did this past week. Maybe, you know, there's just no way for you to do that. But you can have those pockets of rest, you know. You can take those few minutes, turn off your television, you know, turn off your cell phone, shut down your computer, and just rest in God. Get out your Bible and your journal, or not, and just be in his presence, you know.
Or not.
He doesn't need you to have your Bible open. You can just sit and fellowship with him and just let him speak to your heart.
Yeah.
Let his presence envelop you and be a comfort. It's very possible, but you have to make that choice. You have to put your body into the right position so that your spirit and your soul can receive. And you know, when you do that, when you rest in him, your soul will find rest. And you need to keep doing that. If it doesn't happen, I mean, Sheree, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to do that, and I walk away going, yeah, I missed that somehow. Somehow I tried to find rest, and I didn't, and I walk away not changed. And that's not a God problem. That's a Rebecca problem. I mean, let's be real. That is not that God isn't willing or able or faithful, because he's all of those things perfectly. The problem sometimes resides in our own hearts. It resides in our own
heart issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It means that we just aren't there. But you know what? If at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah, go
back. Go back. Try again. It's okay. Keep pressing in and trusting God to bring you that rest for your soul, that refreshing that you need. He knows that you need it, and he wants to give it to you. And the enemy wants to keep you from getting to that place, because that's a place of renewal. It's a place of refreshing. And when you get there and you receive what the Lord has from you in that moment, then you can walk away from it changed and more equipped and more able to bring to the rest of your life what God wants to pour into it. You know, you're ready to do that. But sometimes you can't get to that place of rest right away. I don't know, maybe nobody else has experienced that, Sheree, but I experienced that.
No, it brings me to one of our other favorite promises, Proverbs 1:33.
Yes.
But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. All who listen to me, gain the right perspective, right? Stay in my word, focus on me. Peter didn't focus on Jesus. When the waves hit, he took his focus off Jesus, and his focus was now on fear, and he began to sink in the water. But God's telling us, if we will listen to him and we will focus on him, we're going to live in peace. So if you're unsettled, then you know that you're not focused. Maybe you're not focusing on God. Maybe your focus is on fear or circumstances or perspective or, you know, whatever's going on. But if you'll listen to the Lord and commit Proverbs 1:33 to your heart, all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. That in itself is a mouthful. That in itself can feed us for the rest of our life, you know. I think it's 112. I have to go back and look because I wasn't planning on doing this one, but God said, you know, a righteous man does not fear bad news. And that's not I guess it is a promise of sorts, isn't it? A righteous man does not fear bad news. And that's really Sheree's version of memorizing it. But that scripture, I go back to that scripture a lot. When we get bad news in our family or we receive bad news in our ministry, maybe something didn't go the way we had hoped it would, or, you know, a righteous man, if we stand in righteousness, then we're not going to fear the bad news, right?
Right.
So many scriptures to hold on to. One of my favorites is, let me go back up to this. Hold on. Isaiah 40:29-31, and this is the New Living Translation. He gives power to the weak. How many times do I feel weak? Rebecca, not just as a wife and as a mom, but as a ministry leader, you know, even on the praise team, I feel moments of weakness and strength to the powerless. There's so many times I feel powerless, especially with Samantha's concern, my daughter, who has cerebral palsy. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And this is one of those scriptures that I truly hold on to. Sometimes I have to be reminded of it, depending on the situation. But eventually, when I don't get to it right away, eventually I'm reminded and I go back to it and I read it again. And my strength, Rebecca, is renewed just from reading this passage.
Yeah.
Because I know I can trust God. I know he wrote this for me, just like he wrote it for you and all of our listeners and all the ladies in the chat room. He wrote it for all of us. So when I become weary, whenever I'm feeling Satan, you know, battering me in my mind about whatever the situation is that I'm dealing with, I know I can go back to God's word and be reminded. And I'm excited to say, Rebecca, that it's getting easier and easier for me to receive God's word instantly. Before, I fought it. You know, I fought his promises. Well, that's not for me. Because I had put a self-imposed, you know, level of attaining something. And you must be in the chat room.
Yeah.
I put myself, that self-imposed level, you know, until I reached this mark, then none of these apply to me. Isn't that crazy?
Right,
but
yeah.
I did that. And so I wouldn't receive what God had for me because I thought, well, I don't deserve it. Obviously, I don't, you know. But in this context, it's not that we deserve it. It's that God wants to give it to us. He has freely given it to us, but we're the ones that push him away.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to be able to share today that those God's promises for me, I'm receiving them a whole lot quicker than I used to. And some of them, instantly. Something will happen, and God will bring back my remembrance, his word, a promise, and I'm taken care of right then, and never another issue. You know? So,
that's
but other
awesome.
Times not. But for the most part, I'm doing much better, and I pray that others are too. So, you have one you want to share?
Well, I, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 is just so good, and it's so familiar to us. But it, I mean, I think it's familiar because we all need to hear it. And this is the New Living Translation. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You know, I think all of us can feel like sometimes life is a disaster and that, oh my goodness, everything is just a mess. And, you know, it can be in the natural. We can really have a mess going on. But you know what? The story isn't over. God's not through with you or your circumstances yet. And he wants you to remember that he has plans for you. And they're for good. And you have hope. You just have to remind yourself. So, you know, it's there. God has written these promises into his word. They are a love letter to you. And, you know, I remember the first time, Cherie, that somebody said that the Bible really is God's love letter to you. That just spoke to my heart because he loves me. He loves me, and he loves me enough to write it, you know, have it all written down. Use those people all those years ago because he knew that I would need it. He knew that you would need it. Right. And you know, it's I love it and that we can share it together. You know, when I talk about the word, whether it's here with you, Cherie, on, you know, our radio show, whether it's us on the phone together, whether it's with Robert, wherever it is, I can literally feel the life of God flowing into me more strongly. And, you know, that may sound weird or mystical, and I don't mean to be weird or mystical. I just am more sensitive now to the Holy Spirit than I used to be, you know. And I can tell when his life is working on my physical body that there's a change. And his word brings life. So if you need something to change, if you need strengthening, like Isaiah 40 that Cherie just read, he gives power to the weak, life, you know. Do you feel weak? Speak his word. Speak it to yourself. Speak it out. Speak it to, you know, your circumstances.
Right.
There is power and there is life and you need it. And even if your head wants to tell you this isn't going to work, this is crazy, just do it anyway. Do it anyway and just try it and trust that God is faithful, that he tells the truth, he doesn't lie to you, and that he's got a plan and you just need to cooperate with that plan.
We are about running out of time. So another one is, did you get Philippians 4:19?
Say it.
Okay, I didn't think you had. This same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So if you're struggling in your finances, you're struggling, whatever area you're struggling in, you can know that God is going to supply every need you have. Maybe it's, you know, we went through a situation with our daughter where she stopped eating, and God used one of my sweet friends, Sarah, to speak to me when I got to our Imperfect Wives group that night. She said, I was reading my Bible, and God said the strangest thing to me and told me to tell you it doesn't make sense. And I was like, and I was already struggling myself and praying and asking God, Lord, what do we do? How do we make her eat? We don't understand what's going on, and just in tears for the last week over the situation. And Sarah says, God says she will eat. Whatever it is that you need, God is going to supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, and it's not just financially. Sometimes it is in a word of knowledge. And so don't not receive what God has for you because it's not coming in the way you think it's supposed to. Romans 8:37. Make sure you read Romans 8:37 through 39. And then the rest of these we'll post in the club for those that are a part of it. So for now, we are so glad that you joined us today. We pray that God's been able to inspire you through the scriptures that he shared that he put on our hearts. We're going to be praying for you guys this week as our listeners and those of you in the chat room, because we know that you are going through some tough times, but we also know that God's promises are for you, and they are for today. So until next time, we'll see you later. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.